From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember our mailing address, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And once again, the featured resource of the month, Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you think about fasting, you immediately are reminded of the normal human mode of existence, which of course depends on the ingestion and the digestion and the metabolism of food and water. But as Jesus makes plain, there is an alternate energy supply, and that's precisely what he referred to when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Remember, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. I think it's always interesting to recognize the importance of being nourished spiritually when we talk about fasting, because to fast from food is to feast on God. Of course, there are a lot of very practical things associated with fasting. Jay Richards talks about it in the book, but I think about the wise Cappadocian father who used a merchant ship as an apt illustration. He said that a ship completely loaded down is sunk by a minor swell in the waters, but the boat that has a captain smart enough to toss overboard the extra weight will ride high above even surging waves. And so it is with overindulged bodies. A person gets absorbed with filling up, getting weighed down until finally falling into ill health. But those who are well-equipped, light, and truly nourished avoid the prospect of serious disease. They're like the boat in stormy weather that goes right over a dangerous rock. Much more could be said, but let's go directly to our callers. First up is David in Pontiac, Michigan, listening on the web. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well physically. God has been good to you.
Yes, he has.
And I'm grateful for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. I have a question about a gentleman I found on YouTube. He has his own channel. He's very intelligent. He's very convincing. And I just wanted your opinion. He has a channel called Real Bible Believers. His name is Dr. Gene Kim. And he's real busy on the internet, and he has a church, too, I'm pretty sure of.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him. He has a church called the San Jose Bible Baptist Church. And, you know, the problem with Dr. Gene Kim is that he is he's KJV only. In other words, from his perspective, the King James Version is an autograph. It, for all practical purposes, fell down from Mount Sinai hot off the plates. And the reason I put it that way is you now use the King James Version as the basis for testing everything, and I think that's a big mistake. Certainly the King James Version was a good version of the Bible, and it would likely have remained preeminent among English Bible translations if it was not for the evolution of language. So words that were once denotative have become connotative, and that's why you today have a new King James Version. But there's also a progression in our knowledge and understanding of the original biblical languages. And there's no question whatsoever that there are mistakes in the 1611 KJV that had to be corrected in later editions. So this whole idea of KJV only is fraught with problems. And of course, now we have discovered earlier and better manuscripts to go by, and they demonstrate conclusively that certain inclusions in the King James Version are completely unwarranted. So, you know, certainly I love the KJV. I've often used the KJV for purposes of memory. I did a study Bible with the New King James Version, so I'm a big fan of Elizabethan English. But nonetheless, to be King James Version only is a drastic and dramatic mistake. He also, by the way, is a dispensationalist who believes that, you know, you have to make a distinction in the Bible between passages that deal with Israel and passages that deal with the church. So rightly dividing the word of church, truth from his perspective means that you have to find out which verses apply to one people of God and which verses apply to the other people of God. And of course, that again is an ill-conceived idea because God has always only had one people. And as I've often said on this broadcast, all who are clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community that is connected by the cross. In fact, if you look at what the Apostle Paul says, he points out that Abraham only had one seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. But the double entendre is that if you're in Jesus Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or you're a Greek, whether you're male or you're female, whether you're slave or free. So it doesn't have anything to do with your position in life, your gender. It doesn't have to do with your nationality or your genealogy. It has to do with whether you are found in Jesus Christ. So I think these are two errors that ought to be taken in consideration for people that listen to his ministry. Now, are they deal breakers in the sense that this means that people that are followers of Gene Kim are not believers? I wouldn't say that, but I do think that they're substantial errors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. That's very interesting. And I thank you, and keep up the good work. I listen to you often, and I like you a lot.
Well, thank you. That is very encouraging, and just in line with what David said, I went to see the doctor today. I used to go 3 times a week, and then I went 2 times a week, and then once a week, and now I'm going once a month. So the last time I went was early December, and I went back this week and had a blood test. In fact, I shouldn't say this week. It was this week, but it was this morning. Had a blood test, and the blood test revealed that all my markers, from my hemoglobin to my white blood cell count to my absolute neutrophil count to my platelets, all those markers are continuing to move in a positive direction. And for that, I am deeply, deeply grateful. And I do not take lightly the prayers of God's people. In fact, I just did a Bible Answer Man Facebook video shortly before I came into the studio today. And in that video, I talk about my own health and the health of the ministry. And that's just been posted. So if you're interested, you can check it out. If you haven't done so already, the video is available on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. All the resources that we talk about on the broadcast are available at equip.org. And, you know, I'm sometimes a little reticent to promote my own books, but the book that I wrote recently, the book that I wrote during my battle with cancer, is the most important book from my perspective that I've ever written, because it deals on the one hand with truth. Truth matters. On the other hand, with the matter of life. Life matters more. And if you have the wrong menu, your meal may well be toxic. But you have to go beyond the menu and enjoy the meal. And that is experiencing life that is life to the full. It is experiencing what it means to participate in the divine nature. And I've written about all of that and much, much more in this book. It is available in book form, in audio form, MP3, and CD. And again, available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Instrument Broadcast, the Hank Unplugged Podcast, and our 24/7 outreaches around the world. You can procure your copy of the book or the CD or the MP3 by going to the web at equip.org. It's available for your support of this ministry. So again, check it out on the web at equip.org, and we'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
New York Times bestselling author J.W. Richards wrote Eat, Fast, Feast to help readers revolutionize their physical and spiritual health with a comprehensive guide to intermittent fasting that invites Christians to recover the fasting lifestyle that our spiritual ancestors maintained for over 1,500 years. Find out why modern science and ancient Christian practices support fasting for healthy living, and begin 2020 by healing your body and feeding your soul. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-giving outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat, Fast, Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply visit equip.org, that's equip.org, and make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The book Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. J.W. Richards has put together a six-week plan to promote healing the whole of you so that you can make 2020 one of your best years ever, physically, mentally, and most of all, spiritually. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Rachel in Huntsville, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Quick question. Well, actually, two. I was told years ago, I've never been able to actually find it, but I was told there's a scripture that says, the generation that sees Israel become a nation will not pass. Have you ever heard of that? And if so, what is a biblical generation?
Well, yeah, the generation that's biblical is typically a period of time that's right around 40 years, as we were talking about earlier. But when the generation is talked about in terms of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Olivet Discourse, it does not have to do with the end of the world, but rather it has to do with the end of the age of sacrifice. So remember the story in the Olivet Discourse where Jesus leaves the temple and he's walking away, and his disciples start to draw his attention to its buildings, and he says, you see all these things, I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left upon another, every one will be thrown down. Well, later on, the disciples want to know, when is this going to happen? What will be the time of your coming? What will be the time of the end of the age of sacrifice? And Jesus then says, I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. And then he uses the language of the Old Testament prophets, and he applies that language to the destruction of Jerusalem. So oftentimes when people hear language like the stars will fall from the sky, the heavenly bodies will be shaken, and these kinds of things, they think immediately, well, this is apocalyptic language that forebodes the end of the world. But in reality, it is language that is simply apocalyptic language designating the destruction of Jerusalem. How do we know that? Because Jesus is the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a far greater prophet than them all. And he employs the language of prophets like Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah uses language of sun, moon, and stars when he talks about the Medes and the Persians who are going to overthrow the glories of the Babylonians. So Jesus is now taking the language of the prophets and applying it in such a way that his disciples will understand exactly what he means. But when he talks about the end of the age of sacrifice, he's certainly not talking about the end of the world. And when he talks about coming on clouds, well, that's a common Old Testament metaphor for God's judgment as well. So all of this language oftentimes is misunderstood because people do not read Scripture in light of Scripture. If you do read Scripture in light of Scripture, the meaning of the Lord's words become evident and plain. And by the way, so many people have called Jesus a false apocalyptic prophet, people like Bart Ehrman, who's a professor. He's made a cottage industry of saying that Jesus was a false apocalyptic prophet, didn't know what he's talking about, and certainly thought that the end of the world would happen within his lifetime, but he said the end of the world didn't happen in his lifetime, and so no amount of obfuscation on the part of the Christian can absolve Jesus of the claim that he is a false prophet. The truth of the matter is, if Ehrman and others like him were reading Scripture in light of Scripture, they would realize that Jesus was talking about his generation. In fact, the phrase "this generation" appears many times in the Gospels and always, always, always refers to Jesus' contemporaries. So all the things that Jesus prophesied came to pass just as they said they would, not the least of which was his coming on clouds.
Wow, okay, that's a lot of information. Okay, well, thank you so much, Hank. I was really confused there. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, if you want to get this laid out line by line, precept by precept, I've written about this in a book titled The Apocalypse. Find out what the Bible really says. The Apocalypse Code, sorry. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today.
I'd love to order it. Yes, definitely.
Check it out on the web, equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Charlie in Westchester, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
It has basically to do with paying the price for sin. If you go back to Adam and Eve, there's both a physical death and a spiritual death. So the question is, and then you also have like the scapegoat and the regular goat that got had to get sacrificed. There seems to be two things going on there. But at the cross, I get confused as to how Jesus did both, if he paid the price in full. I understand the physical death. I'm not so sure about the spiritual death, and that, you know, it kind of infers that God turned his back on him. But what does that mean? Were they separated? And if so, I've heard various answers like, well, it only lasted a millisecond or whatever. And it's just confusing to me.
Well, the short answer to that question is there's never any ontological separation within the Godhead, heaven forbid. There's no warrant for that whatsoever. And you have to remember when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is doing that intentionally. Nothing is gratuitous in the words of our Lord. He's drawing our attention to Psalm 22. Where David utters those very words. But in that psalm, if you read the entirety of it, and Christ is drawing our attention not just to the first phrase, but to the entirety of the psalm, we see in verse 24 that God has not forsaken his beloved one. In fact, the text actually says he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. So what's going on here? Obviously, God did not forsake David. That's clear in this passage, nor is there an ontological separation within the Godhead. That's clear in Christian theology, inferences that we can draw from the biblical text. What we have here is something that's typical, which is a contrast between emotional despair and faith in God. And we can easily imagine that Christ, who voluntarily takes on the limitations of humanity, would have within his active consciousness a real sense of being forsaken by the Father as he bore in his body the sins of the world. And this, of course, does not suggest that the Father is separated from the Son, because that can never happen. They always dwell in loving relationships. In fact, there's only one God. The antinomy is that there are three subjects within the Godhead who dwell in forever loving relationships. So no ontological break, as I said before, takes place within the Godhead. But in terms of what's happening, is Jesus suffers more than any man, more than the cumulative sufferings of humanity, not only because he suffers the death of the cross, a death which is so horrifying that the word excruciating had to be coined to codify the full horror of what it is to die on the death on the cross. But in addition to dying physically, suffering the horrors of the cross, he also suffers the sorrows and the sins of all of humanity. So in his suffering, it's not only physical, but it's metaphysical as well. And so you can imagine the angst that creates and why Jesus then would allude to Psalm 22 so that we would have a full understanding of what is going on in that cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I would like to take another call, but I simply don't have enough time. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. For those hanging on, give me a call tomorrow. I'll try to answer your call live on tomorrow's broadcast if I can. 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, and the resources that I've talked about on the broadcast, including the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today, available for those who support the ministry. You can pick it up on the web at equip.org, or as mentioned at the outset of the broadcast, you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. If you want to use the phone, you can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.